Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Our next guest, Ari Shapiro, has been a frequent voice on these airwaves as a correspondent for NPR for years. He spent 4 years covering the White House and 5 years as NPR's justice correspondent. In fact, he had once been an intern for NPR's legal affairs correspondent, Nina Totenberg. Now Shapiro is on to his next job, anchoring All Things Considered, each day on WAMC from 4 to 6 p.m.
The Broncos play the Lions this Sunday. At the same time, there will be a different spectacle playing out above.
It's like the Super Bowl is happening in the sky right now. This is big time.
He began that gig on September 21st, and we have a chance to ask him about it now. Ari Shapiro, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
How are you settling into the new job so far?
I'm having such a good time. It's amazing that every day I get to do stories that are about arts, politics, business, science, funny stories, sad stories, compelling stories, stories from all over the world and all over the country. It's a totally new experience, and I'm having a blast.
How long were the plans in the works, considering you to be the new All Things Considered host?
Well, the position opened up when Melissa Bloch moved to being a special correspondent. So it was a pretty quick transition. And I was actually literally doing stories from London up until the very last day. I filed my final story on a Friday, and then I flew to the States on a Saturday, and I unpacked on Sunday and was hosting for the first time that Monday.
Sounds like quite a whirlwind.
It was.
What did you think that you would bring to this particular role? I mean, I know you've done a lot of international reporting and you've had several jobs at NPR, but what do you think distinguishes you as an anchor on All Things Considered?
Well, the nice thing is that when you look across the four of us as a hosting team, it's, you know, me, Audie Cornish, Kelly McEvers, and Robert Siegel. The four of us collectively represent different genders, different geographic background, different race, religion, sexual orientation, educational background, generations. And so when we come to the editorial meeting each day, we really have different things to offer. And the same is true of the staff, the producers and the editors and the other members of the team, which means that as we put the show together each day, we really can sound more like America. If we all came from the same background, I think we would, you know, see the same stories in our Facebook feeds and read the same magazines on the weekend. And as it is, I think we have a much broader swath of the American experience represented.
Do those meetings ever get contentious? Because there's only, you know, there's only so much show and there's only so many segments you can fit into a show.
Those meetings don't generally get contentious because at 9:30 a.m., it's all sort of dreaming and brainstorming and seeing what's possible. And then maybe as we get closer to 4 o'clock, there might be a crunch and we might have to kick something out of the show that we thought was going to be in the show, or we might suddenly have a hole and we might have to squeeze something in. I wouldn't say contentious, but, you know, a deadline creates excitement. Sometimes it creates stress. And so it's really important to have a team of people who are not just great journalists, but also good people to work with. And so far, I've really just loved the people who put on All Things Considered every day. You know, as a listener, you hear the hosts and the reporters, but there are so many other hands behind the scenes that make this show come together. And one of the most fun things about this new job has been getting a chance to work really closely with all of them.
Did you have any trepidation about leaving behind international reporting to come, you know, be an anchor? And I know you're planning to be in the field perhaps more than some anchors were in the past in your new role, but you were leaving behind, you know, the London Bureau.
I had a great time in London. I really loved doing it. And there are so few jobs that I would have been enthusiastic to give up London for. But this job is at the top of the pile. It's kind of a dream come true to host this show that I've been listening to my entire life. And to do that while also having the option to leave the studio and go do reporting, because having four of us as hosts means each of us can spend 2 weeks reporting and then 2 weeks out in the field. It's in a way kind of the best of both worlds.
Do you have any of those trips planned yet?
I do. I just got back from my first reporting trip in Toledo, Ohio, where I was reporting on Syrian refugees who have resettled in the United States, and those stories are going to air in the coming week. Next up, I'm going to Tennessee, And I'm actually collaborating with a member station reporter, Blake Farmer of WPLN in Nashville. And we're working together to report a series of stories, which is something that I hope I can do more. I hope we can work really collaboratively with stations, because as we go out into parts of the country where local journalists have been doing great work for years, it just seems foolish of us not to team up with those local journalists and benefit from each other's experience and expertise.
What do those reporting trips actually look like? I always wonder that when I hear one of your reports from wherever you've been. Is it you and a producer? Are you lugging equipment around? I mean, what's it actually look like?
It's generally me and a producer, and everybody's a little bit different. Every host-producer team operates differently. I try to front-load stories early in the week to leave room for surprises to come up later in the week, whether that's unpleasant surprises that an interview fell through and we have to scramble, or pleasant surprises like we found another great story that we weren't expecting and we want to have time to do it, which actually happened to us in Toledo. So we have a couple of sort of lighter features that we brought back from that trip that we weren't expecting. But one of the nice things about being in radio rather than something like television is that we don't have a huge crew with a lot of equipment. For the most part, it's two of us. It's a microphone, and we can kind of go into places with a smaller footprint.
Now, you used to cover the White House for about 4 years for NPR, and this change bringing you to All Things Considered is happening in the midst of a very busy and, you know, kind of crazy election already, and we're still a year out. How do you think your time covering the White House beat influences the way you see covering 2016?
I think it gives me perspective. This is a crazy election, but honestly, every election is crazy. And yes, the Republican field might be huge right now, but it is still so early. You know, covering the White House is a crisis every day. And when there is a crisis every day, you start to see all of those crises through a slightly different lens. One of the other things that when I was an intern, a great producer on All Things Considered named Julia Redpath Buckley told me is that nobody's on the operating table here. Nobody's going to die if we miss a deadline. If something goes wrong, it's just radio. And so having that perspective through my years of having covered the White House and covered wars and international affairs and everything else is really valuable when you're crashing on deadline with a show like All Things Considered that is live on the air at 4 every day.
We get it here at WAMC. I'm sure you get it at All Things Considered. The criticism that the coverage of 2016 is, and not just this year, I mean, frankly, it comes up every election, too surface, too much about personalities, not enough about policy.
This year especially, NPR's Washington desk has taken so many steps to really deepen our coverage of the campaign. We have Sam Sanders, whose beat is pop culture and the election. We have Asma Khalid, who is covering voter groups. We have Danielle Kurtzleben, who is covering data and politics. Those are three beats that didn't exist in the last presidential campaign. I think there's always going to be a tug of war over how much coverage you do of what kinds of topics and whether it matches what listeners want. That's an important tug of war to have, and it's important to keep having those conversations. But I think in this campaign cycle especially, you're going to hear a lot of different kinds of coverage from NPR than what you've heard in the past, and I'm personally really excited to hear it.
Talk to me about social media. Ari, you've always been, I think you were an early adopter at NPR and always been a great follow on social media. What do you think social media's, you're welcome, role is in your job now as anchor?
It plays a lot of different roles. One of the things I like about social media is that it makes this more of a two-way conversation. The radio can be a kind of one-directional medium. You know, we speak to listeners, and listeners don't always have a chance to communicate with us. Social media lets them do that. Another thing that I really like about Twitter, Facebook, Instagram is that it lets me let people in on what goes on behind the scenes. And I can kind of preview stories as I'm working on them, or tell people things that might not make it into a story, or give a photo of somebody who's been in a radio piece that day so people can actually see what the person looks like. It kind of fills in gaps that might be left on the radio. But in another way, it's just another form of journalism. You know, Instagram can at times be a form of photojournalism. Twitter can be a form of real-time reporting on what you're seeing in front of you at that moment. Different platforms in social media are useful for different things at different times.
Have you felt any more pressure since beginning this new gig on September 21st? I mean, in terms of having to carry the NPR brand and, you know, having to do well on All Things Considered, which is certainly one of the flagships in all of public radio?
It feels like a huge responsibility and a privilege. This is a show that I have listened to literally my entire life. And, you know, the voices of Susan Stamberg, Linda Wertheimer, Noah Adams, Robert Siegel were voices that were in my home as my parents were cooking dinner every night. It feels like an incredible privilege, but also a responsibility to keep this show strong for another 40 years and keep it relevant for listeners today in 2015.
Was this the dream job you wanted?
You know, dream suggests that I actually could have aspired to it, that it was like a goal I might have aimed for. This seemed so implausible that I can't even describe it as a dream job any more than like landing on the moon would have been a dream job. It's just like not the thing that I ever expected would happen. So to actually have that opportunity now, you know, in the slightly modified famous words of RuPaul, just don't mess it up.
You can catch Ari Shapiro hosting All Things Considered on WAMC between 4 and 6 p.m. on weekdays. He began that new gig in September, and his reporting has appeared on these airwaves from around the world over the years. Ari Shapiro, you're one of my favorite voices to hear, and it's just been a pleasure to hear them in my own headphones today. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Ian. It's been great talking with you.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.